Today's parable isn't something you will read about in Fortune magazine or the Wall Street Journal. The story starts with a dispute. A dispute as common today as it was 2,000 or so years ago. Family fought over the money when someone died. Teacher, someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Well, the request isn't unreasonable. The person has a grievance and needs a rabbi for a ruling. And Jesus refuses to become involved. Jesus sends a lust for wealth at the heart of this family feud. This is a teaching moment. So Jesus gives a warning about greed, about the story of a poor little rich man. Often we use the word fool when we are thinking of someone as unusually stupid, maybe, or rash. In other words, a fool isn't like us. He is the exception. Now, the man in Jesus' parable both is and is not an exception. He is exceptionally rich, that we can read for ourselves, much greater than the average person. But he is completely unexceptional in his desire and goals. For him, more wealth equals more happiness. How normal, how ordinary, how remarkably common. Well, we can't write off this parable as just a warning for the top 1% of super wealthy. Is this a parable for people who think of getting more money is a life's goal worth pursuing? And that's many people. Well, let's be clear. Jesus is not, he's not condemning wealth. The key verse which makes Jesus' purpose clear is found in verse 15 and in verse 21. Jesus says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And Jesus finishes with these words. "This is how it will be with whoever store up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." So these two verses are the key verses, sums up the crux of this whole story of this parable. Jesus' warning is about an unbalanced or wrongly focused life. The man invested in his business but failed to invest in God. The man gave his heart to money when it ought to have belonged to God. He thinks he could sit back, sip a cold drink, and take life easy for years to come. But Jesus calls him a fool, for he will die that very night. No amount of wealth could guarantee his life. The rich man in this parable is guilty of three kinds of folly. Three kinds of folly. First, the folly of thinking things bring meaning to life. There is no hint that this rich farmer cares for anyone else. We certainly cannot read it in the story. The poor little rich man congratulates himself. He ignores God in all his planning. He thinks he is in full command of his life and possessions. He boasts of my barns, my grain, myself. He figures he has found life and happiness. Bumper stickers are very interesting to read. Maybe not so common these days. A bumper sticker on a car reads, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Let's rewrite that. He who dies with the most toy is dead. We need to guard against greed and dissatisfaction, against materialism, which can leave us morally bankrupt. Materialism isn't possessing things, but being possessed by things. That's the first folly. The second folly of this poor little rich man is that the folly of assuming he knows, or you know, or we know, the future. As the old saying goes, man proposes, God disposes. This very night, your life will be demanded from you, so says the scripture. Death is completely beyond the man's control. There is no negotiation, no vote. It is God's decision, period. Death is the great leveler. We all die, no matter your wealth, no matter your learning, no matter your color, nationality, religion, virtue, fame, or influence and talent. And we all know it's coming. If we do nothing to be ready, no wonder God says to this rich man, "You fool." We don't have command and control of the future. That's the second folly. The third folly for this rich man is that investing materially but not spiritually. Nothing in the parable ever suggests this man thinks about others, his own mortality or eternity. He is guilty of selfishness and guilty of short-termism. With money come power, and especially the power to decide everything. He reckons he can do anything and do nothing, take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But that night, his life on earth is over. He couldn't spend a single day eating, drinking, and being merry. To give so much of his life to material things and to give nothing to spiritual things is this man's greatest folly. Is this man a fool? Yes, utterly a fool, but not uncommon. So many live as if all things are for them to direct towards their own goal. But there is a maker, a Lord, and a judge. We've seen many cases around us. I often astounded how much people, especially some of these celebrities, spend on things. like they can spend as much as $1 million on a wedding dress and other items of possessions. Of course they can afford it. But the issue is not whether one can afford it, it's how much these possessions own us. Well, no one gets to live the same years again. What has been gone and passed, that's it. We cannot recapture, recall those past times. This is our moment. We live in this moment, this present time. This is your time. This is my time. This is our time. This is our one chance to invest wisely in God and in all the good things with which God surrounds us. This is our day to live rightly so that we never hear God say to us, "You fool." Albert Einstein counseled us in saying, "Don't strive to be a success. Strive instead to be of value." To be of value to the people you love, to the people around you, to the people that you can reach out to. That is more important than success. Our problem is we have so much, and so much has us. Don't be a spiritual pauper like this rich man. So, let me conclude. You get the best education you can, then what? You work hard to get ahead, then what? You're promoted, obtain numerous awards and plum assignments, then what? You retire, enjoy some leisure, then what? Eventually, you die, then what? Death has a way of clarifying what really matters. So what will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? What will matter is not what you acquire, but what you gave. What will matter is not your success, but your significance. What will matter is not what you learn, but what you taught. What will matter is every act of integrity, compassion, and sacrifice that enriched, empowered, and encouraged others. What will matter is not your competence, but your character. What will matter is not your resume, but the memories that live in those who love you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that this parable has so much for us to learn. And Lord, help us to be of value to others. Help us to share our possessions with others. Help us to invest spiritually and to be rich towards you, Lord. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.